You step foot on the enchanting island of Bali. You're welcomed by breathtaking landscapes, vibrant culture, and warm hospitality. To ensure you make the most of your Bali adventure, here's a story highlighting the essential of traveling in this tropical paradise. Embrace the local culture. Meet the Balinese people with a warm smile and respect their customs and traditions. Use your best attire, and if you're a woman with a period day, don't go to a temple or other sacred places. Explore the natural beauty. Bali is home to stunning landscapes. Do explore lush rice terraces, pristine beaches, and lush forests. Hike up to Mount Baitar. Prioritize your safety. Don't climb the sacred trees, and get the sunrise you'll never forget. Practice responsible tourism. Support eco-friendly and sustainable practices. Choose accommodations that prioritize environmental conservation and respect local communities. Bali's natural beauty is a treasure. Don't litter on beaches, in forests, or the ocean. Dispose of your trash properly and consider participating in beach cleanup efforts. As you embark on your Bali adventure, remember that responsible tourism ensures that this island paradise remains enchanting for generations to come. Bali welcomes you with open arms. It's up to you to protect its beauty and culture. Bali awaits. Ready to weave its magic into your travel story. Safe travels, and may your journey be filled with wonder and discovery.
Voice of Indonesia.
listener, on Wednesday, President Prabowo Subianto reshuffled his cabinet, and one of the major changes was the appointment of a new Minister of Education. This shift perhaps brings fresh hopes for many, including university leaders. And now, speaking on this special interview with us, we have both from the public universities and the private universities, we have Mr. Didi Sukyadi, the Vice Rector of UPI, and Dwi Budidharma, the lecturer at Universitas Pacific Morotai. Welcome and hello. How are you today?
Hello, good.
Hi. Doing great. Thank you, Pa.
Thank you.
Okay, so Mr. Didi and Mr. Dwi, I would like to ask you, what do you think about this new shuffle from the president, and what is the impact to the learning institution, both private and public universities?
Okay, who first will answer?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay.
Pa,
you can
first. Didi, maybe you can start first.
Okay, thank you. So I think the new minister will give us new hope, because the new Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology has a science background. He is an outstanding researcher in nanotechnology, sensor application and energy. He won Habibi Awards in 2024 with both master's and doctoral degree from Tokyo University. He is still young, 43 years old, but very productive in research, with 343 journal article publication in Scopus, with 6,043 citation and H index 40. This is very high and very productive. Also, he is a top one researcher in nanoscience and nanotechnology in Indonesia, according to AD Scientific Index, Stanford University in 2023. With that background, I believe that higher education direction under his leadership will focus more on research productivity and the downstreaming of the research innovation products. Research is not just for research or knowledge or report on papers, but the most important thing is how the research and its product can be mass-produced and used by the community to increase the prosperity of our community. However, I believe that with his team, excellence in teaching and community engagement will also be sought as his aides, like Vice Minister, Secretary General, Director Generals, and many important officials, all high achievers in academia. This combination will enhance the realization of Asta Cita programs of our president. Asta Cita program like self-sufficient in food, energy, creative economy, green and blue economy, entrepreneurship, creative economy, science, technology, human resources, and health will not be achieved without being supported by a strong research and also knowledge production from one of them is from the academia. And because we hope that the expectation of our president is quite high in economic growth, we expect that 7.7% economic growth in 2028, while 8% in 2029. I think that's from my side.
Okay, Mr. Dwi, what is your opinion about the new changes of the new Ministry of Education in Indonesia?
Yeah, thank you so much for the question. I think it is really refreshing. And we need to also know notice that the reshuffle in the cabinet document is nothing new. So it is totally okay. And we totally welcome the new minister, Bapa Professor Brian. And as we know, also referring to what Didi explained before, Professor Brian has a really outstanding and magnificent academic background, and most of all, he is a man of science. and especially engineering. So when we talk about our minister right now, because we already like replied to minister, right? Like Ministry of Education, Ministry of Higher Education, and specifically science and technology. So I think with his background in engineering, with a lot of experiences and academic records, I totally believe that he can actually lead our higher education to a better perspective and better better in so many ways. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much for both of your answers. And also, I would like to ask, is there any challenges that the new minister given to the private and the public university sectors to be given changes that needs to be done during this new reshuffle policy?
I think many challenges are coming to our university life at the moment. In my understanding, first of all is the decrease.
Yeah, maybe Mr. Dwi can answer the question.
Case of funding support from the government because of the Okay.
Oh, sir, can you repeat your answers? We have internet issues right now.
Okay, I'm continuing my response.
Oh yeah, maybe you can start over and tell us your opinion.
Okay. I think there are many challenges coming to our university.
Okay, maybe Mr. Dwi can answer first because there's internet issues right now with Mr. Didi. Maybe,
yeah.
Mr. Dwi can answer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because we already know that he has just been inaugurated like the day before, yesterday or a couple of days before, so it's really new. And I think we haven't really heard anything like a lot or in details from our new minister, Professor Brian. But as we have a little bit already get from his like short statement, he actually said that he will work with all universities in Indonesia, either is it public university or private universities, which is good, which is what we come from perspective of private university really looking forward to. And however, we also need to acknowledge that coming from academic background, he has a lot to adjust. He has a lot of things to learn and catch up, because working in academic sectors and working in governmental sectors having their own specific challenges and require specific efforts, but we're really looking forward to what our new minister are going to actually deliver in his upcoming policies.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Dwi. And Pak Didi, maybe you can answer.
Can you hear my voice now?
Yeah, it is clear right now.
Okay, so I think the challenges of public universities at the moment can be about the decrease of funding support from the government. We know we have what we call efficiency issue by the government led by our president, and it will affect the university budgeting, whether it is state or private universities. And the second one, because of the national budget construction, we will also see that in the very near future, parents of our students will also be having difficulties in paying for their children's tuition. We haven't recovered from COVID-19 pandemic influence, but now we are having a severe problem in all funding, not only from the government, but also from the people of our community. And we have also the decline of the community to pay for higher education expenses of their children, as I have mentioned before. And at the same time, the students have also stronger expectation about the services that the university should serve. whether in terms of quality or in terms of teaching, research, and also services. So they need to have lower tuitions, but more in services. So it will provide a special challenge for university managers at the moment.
Okay, so you just mentioned about budgeting and efficiency, right? So I would like to ask you, both in public and private universities, does it affect the lecturers that works there? And maybe like because of the efficiency budget cutting, does the lecturers have enough funds to be given and can provide for the next thing that will happen?
Yeah. Me first?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think our funding structure comes from three sources. The first one is from the government, and the second one is from tuition of the students, and the third one is from university income generating, whether from businesses in our university, from research or from collaboration with companies or with local government. Our university funding comes from the government is around 35%. But the government has mentioned that some crucial or essential budgeting expenditure will be saved, will be will not be cut by the government. So what will be influenced is, for example, because our university get around 77 to 100 billion per year to cover university expenses, such as for paying the salary of faculty staff which is recruited by our university, such as the salary, functional benefit, and also lecturers and also professional professors benefit. We have to find the money or the money to recover the loophole from the money that we usually get from the students from the tuition. So the money for paying the university lecturers, I think, will not be influenced. It will be saved, but we have to limit our activities, such as, for example, for visiting or internal, external, and also internal collaboration. We will reduce the activities, such as, for example, maybe seminars. We will use online seminar more, for example, and we will visit our colleagues in other countries through Zoom meeting rather than coming physically, for example. Maybe such kind of activities that we have to anticipate.
Okay, Mr. Dre, can you give us your opinion?
Okay, talking about this, coming from the point of view of Paris University once again, we need to actually talk with context, because private universities are really unique in a way that some private universities are actually big and are already independent, and others are not so much. And I'm coming from a small private university located in the frontier, outermost, least developed region, which is in Indonesia we call it Daerah Tigate. So my university is probably not that kind of like having comfortable in terms of like funding and stuff. And so when you talk about the efficiency of the budgeting, we already have a really limited budgeting in all sectors. And then we as a lecturers in Paris University are actually looking forward to research fundings that coming every year. And that's one of many ways we can actually work on our improve our academic and records and academic research and all that stuff. But luckily, my university is actually founded by a foundation, education foundation, but Other than that, our local government, pemerintah daerah, is also part of our university. But again, when we talk about efficiency, if the efficiency is actually going on the higher level, it will be impacting on the lower level in terms of like local governments. So I think it might have some adequate influence and effects requires suitable adjustments from here to there and everywhere. I think that's what I can say.
Okay, Pak Dede and Pak Dwi, thank you for your answers, and we'll be right back after this music, continuing about the discussion about the new ministry and new hopes after this music.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sejenak kawanku, tinggalkanlah semua masalahmu. Bisik pasir deburan ombak, temani semesta membiru. Dengarlah,
in Voice of Indonesia, talking about the new ministry's new hopes with Mr. Dwi and Mr. Didi in Voice of Indonesia right now. So I would like to ask Mr. Dwi first, talking about the new ministry. So to improve the higher education for our country, what can the government do for the lecturers and the faculty or the universities to improve the quality of the students and the future of Indonesia?
Okay, and again, I will be totally happy to share my point of view from private university, because it is quite different with what's going on with private university, right? But I think the main point is kind of the same in how we actually can try build a better higher education. There are at least three. And first of all, we need to actually have a good and proper learning space, which is the building, which is the classrooms. And most of the university, like big university, might already not have problem with that. But with small universities, we don't want to say like we have really a bad situation, but we are currently having a lot of lack facilities in all the stuff, including the buildings. And then other than that, we also need to take into account the resources, such like the library for further and additional resources for books, and then like the laboratory, because I'm coming from a faculty of teacher training education, especially in English education study program. Something like that needs like a laboratory, like language laboratory, like a proper speaker, audio, and then a proper computer, which is not every private university actually can afford that, I believe. And also other than that, we also need to have a good additional training for the lecturers, I suppose, because I think it is already kind of like knowledge for everyone that lecturers coming from public university and first universities are quite different in terms of how they can access such trainings to develop their academic career, to develop their professionalism. And those activities are actually needs to be spread equally both to public university and private university as well. I think that's at least what I can say right now.
Okay, and Didi, what is your opinion on that?
Okay, thank you. In addition to funding challenge, we have also a challenge in terms of rapid development of technology, such as the use of AI, mm-hmm. and also the rise of the students with mental health problems. So increasing the quality of higher education at the moment is what has been mentioned by our colleagues, but Budi, I have also some ideas that I think the use of technology is inevitable. The technology can be used to transform governance, teaching, research, and also community engagement. For example, we can use AI writing, research,
okay, Didi, are you still here?
And also, okay.
Oh yeah, sorry, you just disconnected. Can you repeat that?
Okay, I think we can use technology to increase the quality of higher education. We can use AI to transform governance of our university, to increase the teaching and learning process. We have what we call personalized teaching and learning that can be adopted by our students. And also we can use AI, for example, for helping our students in academic writing or in doing research. And we can also use massive open online courses to cater prospective students in remote areas or those who want to improve their skills or qualification but are not possible to leave their office. And the last one, equity can also be achieved by using MOOC or digital modules to organize pre-university program for our higher education students, because we have to increase our community, our people who can get higher education, because we are now still 33.7% having university education. We want to increase it to 60% in around 2030, according to the government plan, I think. So we can do that with the help of technology.
Okay, so final question for both Mr. Didi and Mr. Dui. There is two questions. So First, what can everyone do to support the universities apart from the government? And of course, what are the expectations from both the public and the private university for the next generation of education of Indonesia? Maybe Dwi can start first and then followed by Pak Didi.
Okay, when we talk about education and our hopes and expectation to a better higher education, I think it is clear that what we need to do is a really equal opportunities and more collaborations opportunities. Like, speaking of the truth, in Indonesia, we have a lot of universities, right? But most of them are actually private universities that may or may not having equal access to some training, to some funding, to some other projects, even for the lecturers or the students. So we really do hope that the new minister can bring new policies that can actually be more inclusive in terms of inviting private universities to the discussion as well. So like there are discussions out there in the public when we talk about education, but whenever I want to like also be included in the discussion, but I just cannot because somehow the discussion only centering around public universities most of the time. So I would love to see betterment and more inclusive policies in terms of how the government will actually also considering and include private universities into considerations whenever they do another new policy in terms of higher education in Indonesia.
Okay, Pak Didi, can you give us
I believe that education is an investment for the future of our young generation. So because it is a kind of investment, it is not the responsibility of the government. It is also the responsibility of the people or the parents of the children. So because of that, we do not need to rely all responsibilities on the government, but the parents also should struggle to make their the education of their children a success in the future. So if they have to look for money, for example, for paying the tuition of their children, it is not considered as a burden, but it is a kind of investment. So we have to do it with all our efforts as much as we can. And in addition to the parents, I think the education is also the responsibility of the private parties. So we have also to involve more the private companies to donate their corporate social responsibility in the field of education, because in other countries, universities can get research funding, for example, from the companies. But so far, in our case, it is not quite common when universities are collaborating or solving the problems faced by companies, private companies, through research. If we can create this collaborative environment between private companies and universities and also the local governments, I think the downstreaming of research products that were produced by universities, I think, will be much faster. So the research that the university produce will not end in the shelves of the library or in the form of journal articles only, but it should become a product that can be used or can be consumed by the people of Indonesia, so our the life of the community will be more prosperous because of university, so we can say that this is an impactful university. That's what I can say.
Okay, thank you so much, Pak Didi, and thank you, Pak Dwi, and have a nice day. And that is our talk about the new Minister of New Hope, and more from Indonesia is still coming, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia.
Metanoia jadi gol. Sewaktu serbundu di hujan peluru, berhenti tubir untuk salah dosa memburu. Di tengah gemuruh ombak menerba, kuputuskan berlutut lalu rebah. Kau datang untuk hapuskan rasa resah, segala badai ombak hidup lalu rebah. That's why I'm grateful. Grace overwhelming, my God is stable. To transform me like Optimus Prime. What? There is no turning back again in time. Yeah.
Mengusir rasa ternyata kau mampu berikan asa.
Biarlah atasku kau berkuasa,
engkau yang kupuja.
Children love just screen time.
Screen time.
Yay! But sometimes they don't.
Screen time.
Hmm, okay. changes in behavior may be a sign that our children have been exposed to inappropriate content or online bullying or predators. Pay attention to the sign. It's not too late.
Screen time.
Dad, help me. Find more ways to protect children online from your local children protection agency or visit unicef.org. Be familiar with the sound when your kids are online. But you might miss some other sounds. Your child might stumble upon harmful content, bullies and predators when they are online. pay attention to the sounds. It's not too late.
Mom, what's this?
Find more ways to protect children online from your local children protection agency or visit unicef.org.
Listener, Askempo Plated is one of the legendary solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this Askempo Plated, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Askempo Plated is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make Askempo Plated, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and its white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol plated is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tapi. For one bowl of Askempo Plated, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiah. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Ku dibesarkan oleh angin dan gelombang. Aku dibesarkan oleh api dan batu karang. Oleh sio sayangi, rasa sayang padanya. Sang matahari dan ibuku rembulan berdiri melangkah dan ku berlari merebut masa depan oleh si sayang rasa sayang padanya. Tinggikan semangatmu, tinggikan
sang matahari dan ibuku rembulan. Oh, berdiri melangkah dan ku berlari merebut masa depan. Oleh si sayang ini, rasa sayang ada nih.
Here's Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesia to seek sustainable investment at World Expo Osaka. Regional heads from Bali head to retreat location in Yogyakarta, excluding Koster. And now the news in details. Here's the news. Indonesia aims to attract sustainable investment at the World Expo Osaka 2025, focusing on green energy and environmentally friendly industries. The country will showcase its commitment to sustainability through innovative projects and partnership. The government hopes this initiative will boost economic growth while promoting global cooperation in sustainable development. The head of regions in Bali are gathering in Yogyakarta for a retreat aimed at strengthening collaboration and discussing regional development strategies. Notably, Bali's governor, Iwayan Koster, is absent from the event due to other commitments. This retreat is seen as an opportunity for local leaders to align their visions and work towards common goals for the province's future. And that was the news. Well, listener, if you want something flawless, you can always watch our online streaming at voinews.id, shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and our application in NFE Digital. But enough talking about me and VOI. Here is Adrian Kelly with Flawless.
Segalanya, yeah. Dirinya yang merah merona, ingat senyumnya buatku terpana. Suara hatinya yang mempesona, buatku kehilangan kata. Ku berjalan menuju arahnya, melihat